Good evening, everyone. I call the July 18th, 2022 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you very much. At this time, I'm going to call on our Colonel and Police Chief, Colonel Connor, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the balls bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Thank you very much, Colonel. I'd just like to ask my colleagues on the council, would like to move a few things around on the agenda this evening. First up, I would like to move general communications and do that right now and put that in front of executive session. Is there any objections to doing general communications at this time? Hearing none, are there any general communications, announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events city council members would like to speak on today? All right. Hearing none, we move on to executive communications, and there are no executive communications on this at this time. I would also like to indulge my colleagues in the council if we could move to public comment rule 41 at this time. Is there any objections to doing rule 41 at this time? Okay, we will now take, hearing no objections, we will now move to rule 41, public comment. After the general communications and prior to the consent calendar at each city council public hearing meeting, there should be a 15-minute period during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following situations. A, the total period of time for public comment shall be 15 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. B, the topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. C, city council members will not respond to questions during public comment period. And D, public comment session will terminate at the expiration of 15 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous consent. Sergeant of the Arms, do we have anyone at this time signed up? Okay, is there anyone, members of the public, that would like to speak at this time on public comment? Any members of the public like to speak at this time? Okay, thank you very much. Hearing none, I would also like to move two more items up on the agenda this evening. This one will take will need a vote. I would like to move the unanimous consent item PCR 84-22, a resolution authorizing the Warwick Police Department to collaborate with non-adjacent Rhode Island municipalities and higher education institutions, police departments through a proposed statewide mutual aid agreement. First, two questions. First, is there any objections to moving that item up at this time? Okay, there's no objections. Now, we now need to take a vote, and we'll do a roll call vote on this to hear this item under unanimous consent. We'll do a roll call vote to hear this item under unanimous consent at this time. So a yes vote is to hear this item at this time. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes.
Thank you. It has been unanimous consent. We can now hear PCR 84-22. Colonel, are you presenting?
Thank you, Mr. President. Prior to July of 2021, Rhode Island General Law 4542-2 allowed police departments to engage in mutual aid agreements for non-emergency mutual aid for only those cities and towns that bordered our city. After a legislative change, Rhode Island General Law 4542-2 now allows us to engage in non-emergency mutual aids through with any other city and town in the state, provided that this body issue a resolution allowing us to do that. Once, if this passes, myself and the other chiefs of police in the states, in the cities and towns, will sign a one document, one mutual aid agreement that would allow us to then work with other cities and towns, regardless of whether or not they join us.
Thank you very much, Colonel. So basically, this is just we'll take the help wherever we can get, and let's work together and support not just Warwick, but the citizens of Rhode Island.
That's correct.
Thank you, Colonel. Are there any questions for the Colonel at this time? Any questions from the Colonel at this time? Okay. Councilman Howe, do you have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second. Second by Councilman Lattiser. Any questions? Second by Councilman Foley as well. Any questions, additional questions? And as this was under unanimous consent, I will ask, is there any members of the public that would like to speak on this? Any members of the public? Okay, Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Colonel, I just wanted to emphasize in the document here, PCR 8422, that an important piece of this is with regards to the higher education institutions and schools in general, correct?
Yes, it does include them as well, yes.
Which we all know is very much needed. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any additional questions from members of the council? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes. Motion passes.
Thank you. The motion passes. Thank you, Colonel. I would also like to make a request from members of the council to move up to a public hearing, number one on our agenda, which would be PCO 15-22, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the city of Warwick. Are there any objections at this time to moving that item to hear now? Okay, hearing now, we will now move to hear PCO 15-22. Committee report, land use. I think that's Councilman Ricks.
Recommend open public hearing.
Okay, the clerk recommends public hearing for action. Councilman Howe.
Favorable action.
For a public hearing.
Public hearing.
Second by Councilman Lattiser. Okay, we are now in open a public hearing. Thank you. Is there anyone this evening here to speak on PCO 15-22? Sergeant can help you.
Evening. There we go. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. President, honorable members of Warwick City Council. For the record, Attorney K. Joseph Shikachi. I have both public hearings. Can you tell me the applicant's name? I don't have a copy of the agenda with me this evening. Is it Post Road or Division Street?
It's Skydra.
Post Road, thank you. So I'm going to just give me 1 minute and have my team come up, sit in the front row and put the easels up and the all the documents. And I can go through a little bit of a history of this and as a, give a project narrative to the council. With me tonight are the principals, Robin Schiavo and his team, Dupree Engineering, and we have a traffic expert here as well. The short version is this is the old, this is how we do it in Rhode Island, what the property used to be, the old Park Ride and Fly that was acquired by the airport approximately 10 years ago when the airport was consolidating all off-site parking. It was purchased by the airport, remains off the city's tax rolls for numerous years. My client is under contract with the Airport Corporation to purchase the property and convert it into 200 units of housing. The property has received a positive recommendation from planning and a unanimous approval from the Warwick Planning Board. At the planning board hearing for master plan approval and the recommendation to this honorable body, there was no objection. I have the team that can answer any and all questions. This property, the zone change, is an extension of the zoning next door that would meet its natural geographic boundaries. It is consistent with the City of Warwick's comprehensive use plan, and over a period of years, this property is generating zero income, will ramp up to full scale of assessments to the City of Warwick. This is much needed housing in our city. As we all know, the housing market is overheated, and as I like to say, we need affordable housing, we need workforce housing, and we need market rate housing. This is a great opportunity to bring residents into our city, which has a declining population due to airport expansion and several other factors. This would fit very nicely. It's very close to the train station, public transportation, as well as the airport, and the hopefully the soon-to-be full-service rail line. But right now, we're limited to T service. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I have some drawings up. I have some renderings up. Mr. Scavo's here. He can go into detail. I know the planning director's here. I'm not planning on bringing anybody up to make a presentation, but they're all here to answer any and all questions. The recommendation from the planning, we've reviewed it, and the stipulations, we would have no problem if the council wanted to incorporate those stipulations into your decision for any kind of an approval. This is a good reuse of a parking lot. You'll have landscaping, you'll have wonderful amenities as well.
Thank you very much. And as you mentioned that you've had multiple meetings on this, invited the members of the public to weigh in on this, and you've noted no objections.
None whatsoever.
Okay, from members. And I'm also having a housing advocate as you are, and this is an exciting plan. This is, like you said, we need affordable housing, we need market-based housing, we need more housing, and this is a great step, and it's a great use of what's there right now, as you said.
That for the last 10 years has generated zero tax dollars to the City of Warwick.
Great. Councilman Howe, is this your ward? Councilman Howe.
It is, Mr. President, thank you. And to my colleagues, I just want to reiterate what Speaker Sikarchi said. This is a plot of land that was a parking lot of tax exempt because it belongs to the airport. Therefore, it's one of those properties that now the city gets to, if you will, through a tax base, reclaim and develop some revenue. Not only that, bring in residents in, and thus the irony is feeding the restaurants and all the businesses in that zone, where it also has easy access to the points of Post Road, the airport connector, easy access to 195, as well as Speaker Sikarchi said, the our wonderful airport mover. So like the trains, the connector, the entire city center, if you will, but easy access from Post Road to all points Warwick. So this is an exciting part because finally, once again, we're seeing yet another big, vast, empty lot in the city of Warwick getting filled. And I would like to thank the speaker's team as well as the planning department on putting forward such a solid effort and also getting a lot of rewards that the developers are willing to add in for the city of Warwick and our parks and recreation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Howe.
Just to reiterate a point, I don't know if I said in my original presentation, this parcel of land abuts the airport connector. So you literally, the parking lot is feet away from the airport connector. Makes it very easy access on and off 95.
Excellent. Any other questions for members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I also support this project. I think it's certainly well needed. And I also want to give kudos to Councilman Howe, because I know he has done his diligence in regards to this project, including the contractors, et cetera, who will be working on this project. As you all know, I'm obviously a very strong proponent of housing. And a project like this is going to have a significant impact to the city because we have no inventory. And when you have no inventory, the prices of the houses just continue to climb and climb and climb. And we're becoming, it's becoming difficult for folks to be able to afford to move into the city. There's the rippling effect to this project. When you're putting up these amount of units, the list of benefit to the economy, to the industry, to the city is endless. It's not just about 200 families moving into the community. It's about the impact and the rippling effect that such a large project has on the entire base of our city. And I think it's a great project, and I certainly will be supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Lattiser. Any other questions? Councilman Rex.
Very exciting development. It's a smart development. I wouldn't support a four-story tall building just anywhere in the city, but this is the place for it. I think that, especially after hearing from Councilman Howe and knowing his involvement in this and knowing how the planning department, our planning board, and really everyone involved in this project has been able to support it with this list of the 16 conditions, waivers, and stipulations that are already built into this ordinance to make sure that everything is being done by the book. And with the presentation of Attorney Shikarchi, we've always, when Attorney Shikarchi comes before us, expected everything to be very thorough, and he always lives up to those expectations. So I think that we've covered a lot of great points here, that this is much needed development. It's going to provide housing for a couple hundred people or families, and this is the right place for exactly this kind of development.
Thank you, Councilman. Any additional questions from members of the council? Okay, it's this public hearing. Is there anyone here from members of the public that would like to speak in favor of this project? Are there any members of public that would like to speak in favor of this project? Okay, hearing none. Is there any members of the public that would like to speak against this project? Are there any members of the public here that would like to speak against this project? Are there any members of the public here that would like to speak against this project? And are there any members of the public that would just like to comment on the project at all? Any comments at all from members of the public? Okay. Councilman Howe, can I have a motion to close the public hearing?
Motion to close public hearing.
One point, if you don't mind, I just want to protect the record, just to make sure that an acknowledgement from the President or the clerk, that you have the formal report from the planning department and all the accompanying reports. You can just acknowledge it by reference, and I'd be happy. Thank you.
Thank you. We will acknowledge that, correct, for the record.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, motion to close the public hearing?
Motion to close public hearing.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilwoman Travis, and Councilman Lattiser. Okay, we are back to... Oh, we're going to do a voice vote to close the public hearing. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Are there any questions or comments members of the council would like to make at this time? Okay, hearing none. Councilman Howe, do you have a motion?
Respectfully move favorable action.
Councilman Howe moves favorable action. Second by Councilman Foley. Second by Councilwoman Travis. Second by Councilman Lattiser. Any additional questions or comments on the motion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, first passage.
Thank you. The motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And while they are taking it down, I'm going to ask my colleagues on the council, is there any objections to moving to hear right now number two on the agenda this evening, which is another public hearing, PCO 16-22, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance of the city of Warwick for 1119 Division Street. Any objection to hearing that at this time? Okay, then we will now move that up at this time. So PCO 16-22, committee report, land use.
Recommend open public hearing.
For action, Councilman Gephardt.
Move to open the public hearing.
Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Foley and Councilman Howe. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. We will now hear PCO 16-22. Is there anyone here to speak on behalf of PC 16-22?
Thank you, Mr. President. Honorable members of the Warwick City Council, for the record, Attorney K. Joseph Shikachi, representing the applicant this evening. Before you tonight is a request for a zone change with waivers due to the uniqueness of this property, and I'd like to give a brief outline. I have the principals from TPG Group who are here tonight, Nick Jacoby, as well as Jared, who works with them. And then I have a project engineer with me, Mr. Joey Fonseca, as well, to answer any questions. This is a part of a larger development, but it's only a small part of it's coming before the council for the Neon gas station change. If you know the Neon that we have on the corner of Airport Road and Post Road, it's one of the best gas stations in the city. It's very well done. It's put together. It has electric charging stations. It has first-class food being served there. It's really become more than just a gas station. So that they are purchasing the 1149 property, which they already purchased, I should say, and they are developing another gas station there. That property has received all of its approvals from the planning board as well. They're going through that process. The property tonight is the car wash next to it, which requires a change of zone with waivers so they can meet the requirements. This unique parcel of land, so the gas station would be technically separate from the car wash and gas station, separate parcels, but they would use common easements and they would share opportunities to go there. I can put Mr. Fonseca on to answer any questions you have. Like the previous project, at the last planning board approval, we received master plan approval and a favorable recommendation. There was no objection. We received a favorable recommendation from the planning department and a unanimous vote in support from the planning board as well. Be happy to answer any questions. This is a car wash that would be part of the Neon gas station operation. It would be abutting it, and there would be some common access points as well.
Thank you very much, Attorney. Councilman Gephardt, this is your ward. Do you have any comments?
Just for frame of reference, is this the property, the gas station, is that where there was that dilapidated house
No, the gas station would be where the restaurant is. The dilapidated house would be the car wash.
The car wash. Okay, got it. I didn't see it in the planning board's document or any of the comments from the other departments, but are there any wetland concerns on that side of the highway?
No, we've had them flagged and addressed it. It's not even close.
Okay.
We abut the town of but DOT property in the town of East Greenwich.
Got it. And then just the timeline. I'm not sure what the timeline is on finishing that the big bridge project construction over there. But do you see this probably progressing after that, depending on the timing?
They will move as quickly as the approvals will allow, but I don't know when the DOT is scheduled. We don't impact with them, so we're going to work independently of them, but hopefully they'll come to, both projects will come, the private one and the DOT one will come to conclusion soon. That would be the goal.
Great, thank you. And then just to repeat, so this approval tonight is just the special use permit for the car wash?
With the restrictions, or in this particular case, the exemptions, as I call them.
Okay. Great. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you again for your presentation. I think that, especially from Councilman Gebhardt's questions, and I know that, Councilman Gebhardt, very involved in his ward, has been keeping track of this, and there's always that good communication. I think that this is just another example of, a smart development, getting this back, not on the tax rolls because it's never left the tax rolls, but putting it back to a productive use. And I think that everything here, process, was done the right way with the planning department, planning board. Oftentimes, it's not a great thing when you don't see members of the public not coming and participating. But oftentimes, when it comes to these particular situations where it's a matter of zoning, all of these notices go out and then nobody attends because they don't have any issue with it. That's actually a positive thing. So I want to just say thank you for keeping this all on close track, because I can imagine how many different concerns might come up along the way that have to be addressed to get it to this point that makes it look simple. But we all know that it's anything but simple to have a development and be able to get it to this point while satisfying so many different people.
Any other questions from members of the council at this time? Okay, are there any members of the public here to speak in favor of this project? Are there any members of the public here to speak in favor? Any members of the public here to speak in favor? Are there any members of the public here to speak against this project? Any members of the public here to speak against this project? Any members of the public here to speak against this project? Are there any members of the public here to speak on this project at all? Any members that like to speak on this project at all? Okay. Hearing none. I'm looking for a motion to close the public hearing.
I'll move to close the public hearing.
Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilwoman Travis. Councilman Howe. All those in favor of closing the public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Are there any comments from members of the council at this time? Additional questions or comments? Hearing none. Councilman Gebhardt, do you have a motion?
I move favorable action.
Second by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Foley, Councilman Ricks, Councilman Howe. Any additional comments or questions? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action on PCO 16-22.
Mr. McAllister?
Here, yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, first passage.
Thank you. The motion passes.
Thank you very much. Good evening. Thank you for the scheduling accommodation, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Hearing any objections from members of the council, I would think we should go back to the top of the agenda, which would move us into executive session. Councilman Gephardt.
I move that the Warwick City Council go into executive session pursuant to Rhode Island General Laws 42-46-5A2 to discuss pending and potential litigation relative to the Warwick firefighters.
Do we have a second? Second by Councilman Howe and Councilman Foley. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Are we going to do a roll call on that one? So the clerk will call the roll for to move into executive session.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser? Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy? Ms. Travis? Yes. 9 yes to move to executive session.
Thank you. So for members of the public, we are now moving into executive session. So we are going to go downstairs and have our meeting for executive session. Once we come back from the executive session, we will reconvene the full city council meeting. And we do have to go back into the finance committee meeting and the ordinance committee. So there will be some action from the council when we return to finish the finance docket and the ordinance docket. Thank you. We are now back in open session. The Warwick City Council convened an executive session pursuant to RI General Laws 42-46-5A2 to discuss pending slash potential litigation regarding the Warwick firefighters. There were two votes taken, one of which was approval of reconvening into open session. I would now ask for a motion to seal the executive session minutes. Councilman Lattiser. Second by Councilwoman Travis and Councilman Foley. We're going to do a roll call. Can I? The clerk will call the roll to seal the executive session minutes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to seal the minutes.
Thank you. So ordered. The executive session minutes of the Warwick City Council of July 18th shall be sealed. At this time, I ask that we move back into the Finance Committee meeting, and I would like to thank the members of the administration who have stayed here, and you could tell the mayor I said you can come in real late tomorrow morning. So, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening. The time is 9:11, and Warwick Finance Committee is reconvening. The next item we will be discussing, per request of Councilman Gephardt, is bid 2023-442, traffic light repairs. That's found on page 160. Councilman Gephardt.
Just a very quick, hopefully, question, and I don't know if this is Christy or Pat, but the question really is just, you describe in the memo process step that didn't go right, and my question is just how does it not happen again?
I'm not really sure how it happened in the first place. The information is disseminated to those that need it, and for whatever reason it was, I don't know if it was just, you know, they were still in the mode of old bid, that this vendor, but it has been not an issue since then, so.
Got it. In terms of the employee who made the mistake, was any action taken or a little note in their file or anything like that?
I don't handle personnel matters.
Okay. We can follow up on personnel. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from the committee? Council. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. So, Christy, this repair order, this was completed in December 2021. How is it that it's just coming to us now?
I just received the bills at the end of June.
So somebody inadvertently called this A&M Electric to have work done. Isn't there a trail or records of some sort that so-and-so called to have this particular repair done at this building for this type of work? Or does someone just at will have the authority to call A&A or A&M to do this work?
So we have a bid in place for traffic light repairs, pole lights, and that sort of thing. It runs from October 24th of every year to expires on October 24th of every year. So it begins on October 25th of. So this year we have a different vendor, and the bid will expire on October 24th, 2022. The time that this vendor was called, we had only been a couple months into the new bid, and I can't speak to why the wrong vendor was called. I was informed about it after the fact. I've chased this vendor for months for all the bills that we had that were outstanding, and they finally came through, and we cleared up everything except for this one particular bill because it was outside of the parameters of.
I mean, obviously, there's a concern with someone calling in the wrong vendor. That's an error, and you know that happens. But more concerning to me is that 6 months later, we get a bill that's presented to us in a new fiscal year, and 6 months went by, and there's no accountability to this. This says that all work was performed on December 14th, 21. The transaction date was 6/20. That's, I assume, when they sent the bill to you. How is it that A&M Electric went 6 months without sending the bill?
I can't speak to their accounting practices.
And so you had a bid in place. I understand that. What were the rates for the bid in place? The bid in place that you have, what were the rates of that bid compared to the rates that this company charged us?
I don't have the current bid with me, but off the top of my head, they're relatively similar. These numbers are not grossly overinflated.
But I'm concerned that their rates would be higher than what the bid award was, which means in addition to calling the wrong vendor, we possibly paid more than we should have. There's $4,164 worth of materials on this bid, and I don't see one item in here to account for what those materials are. These are the things that I keep hopping on, and I've been hopping on for a long time. This isn't the first time a bid comes to us. And Christy, don't misunderstand. I'm not pointing fingers at you because it's not just your department. This has happened a lot over the years, and the bill just came in. We didn't get the bill. We didn't know it. This occurs, I think, a little bit too frequently. But to come here now and say, okay, we're going to pay this bill of, you know, $7,100, and they're billing us for $4,164 in materials, I can assure you, if I receive the bill in my company 6 months after the work was done, first of all, somebody's going to have to prove to me that they did that work in the first place. You're going to physically come down to my place, and you're going to prove to me you did the work. You're not going to just send me this bill. And equally important, you're going to have to give me a complete breakdown of all the materials that you used for $4,164. And I think what you're saying is they didn't do that. They just sent us this invoice. They didn't send us an itemized bill of the materials. Is that true?
I didn't receive it, no.
Well, I think that we should. Mr. Chairman, I have a real problem with paying these type of bills when we don't have any documentation. I mean, these things have got to be corrected. We cannot be rubber stamping invoices that are sent to us 6 months later and hitting us with a $4,100 bill, almost $4,200 bill, that the taxpayers have to pay, and we can't account for. There's no materials list. We have no idea what they did, what they used, if they used it, and what we're paying for each item. And there's no comparison between these prices that we're paying and what the numbers were in the bid that we had in place.
That so
doesn't make sense.
Councilman, I'm looking at page, and I hear what you're saying, but I'm a little confused. I'm looking at page 162 at the invoice.
Yes.
And at the very top, it says work description. And that's what I read. Is that what you were discussing, or you were saying you wanted it all in line item?
No, if you look down at item 1025 in that invoice,
yes.
It says materials.
At 15%, yes.
You've got, that's the overhead and profit on the materials. So I'm talking about the materials. They're billing us for $4,164, and we have no breakdown of what those items were. So how do you know what they put in or what they did to whatever these lights were? Did they charge us the right number for the bulbs? Did they put in bulbs? Did they put in, I don't know what the hell they put in. And then in addition to that, we're going to approve overhead and profit on materials. We have no idea what we got billed for. We have no idea what those costs were. That's the breakdown I'm talking about. Their labor rates are pretty clear. 16 man hours at $85, 127, et cetera. That's all pretty clear. My question is, how do those rates compare to the bid that we approved? Just for point of interest to us, so we know maybe it's less than what the bid was. And if it is, I think that should be an eye-opener for us on future bids with this vendor. But if they're more, that's another concern. But to vote on paying this bill, $71.46, when we have no idea, we have no list, we have no material breakdown for $4,160 in addition to another $624, I can't do that. That doesn't make any sense to me. So, if the committee wants to go ahead and approve that, fine. I'll request a PCR because I'll be voting no on it for those reasons.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council?
I was just going to say, given that it's not an active vendor, I have no problem holding it if we need more documentation.
Thank you. Any comments, questions from the public? Comments, questions from the public? I would agree. This is, Councilman Gebhardt, to his point that he originally made, and to Councilman Lattisor's, I think it's fair that we ask for, since they were the wrong company called and they did not, were not on the bid list, we do have to break down what their items were instead of just a general overview. So I would have no problem calling a PCR. Oh, there you are. Please.
8722.
Say again, please.
8722.
Thank you. So for the record, bid 2023-442 is now PCR 87-22. Councilman Gebhardt.
I move to hold the only meeting in August.
Second.
We have a motion to hold to the meeting in August. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you. The next item for discussion is bid 2022-441, repair diesel fuel fill. This is requested by Councilman Lattisor and is found on page 163. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you. Christy, on the position paper from your department, it says the Department of Public Works is requesting an exception to notice for repairs to the diesel tank fuel fill. At the time of the incident, what was the incident?
The fuel fill had been dug up because it had to be adjusted. It was in a low point, and when it rained, we could get fuel, but it had to be pumped out prior to opening the fuel fill, so the water didn't go in the tank. So that was all raised up to where it should be, and it had to be cemented. Unfortunately, prior to us getting it cemented, somebody drove over it and basically dismantled the entire top of the fuel fill. We had to have the tank tested for integrity. So it was kind of a big deal.
Was that, whatever the vehicle was that drove over it, did that occur while this company was working on it?
No.
So this was left open that someone could drive over? There were no cones or no barriers or anything put up so nobody drove over it?
I know that it was blocked off to some degree. I don't know how much, but, and I don't know why someone would have driven over it. It was obviously open, but unfortunately it did happen, and we can't identify whose vehicle it was. Got it. So.
Okay. Can understand that. But Chairman, I've got the same issue with this bid, is with this item as well. So we've got a bill here in front of us with a labor rate. It doesn't have a rate, actually. It's got labor, one, and it's got a bill for $646.75. On the next page, it's got a labor amount of one, and the amount is $3,750. You've got $4,000 worth of labor charges here that we don't have any documentation for. There's no designation of how many hours were spent or certification of hours that were spent, and there is no dollar amount per hour of what we're being charged for. That's wrong. There's no way I'm going to vote for this either. You can't send us a bill for these type of things and not have accountability. The vendors need to expect to be held accountable by this city when we're going to pay a bill. And to send me a bill, it would be like if I sent you a bill for $700 and say, hey, listen, you know what? I'm a good guy. Just pay the $700. You're not going to pay it. That's wrong. We need to have an accounting of how many hours and what's the hourly rate. Christy, is this on a bid as well?
No.
So how do these numbers come into play? They just charge us what they want?
In part, there's a portion of it that for labor, which was excavation, that the trust does not cover. That was $1,750. So we will be paying that out of our operating budget from last year, and the balance of it will be reimbursed by the trust.
So we don't know, A, we have no idea how many hours they spent fixing this. B, we have no hourly rate. I can tell you one thing. Take your vehicle someday to a body shop for an insurance claim and see if the insurance company is going to pay without an itemized breakdown. They're going to want to know every last screw, nut, and bolt that's used. They're going to want to know every single minute that you took for painting, how many brushes you use, shop towels, etc. This is not good business. We need to have an accounting of how many hours. Somebody has got to say, yep, okay, they did. They put 5 hours into this. Pay the bill. Nobody can say that because we don't have an invoice, so we have no idea what we're being charged for. And there's nobody here to say, yep, they put in that time. They deserve to get paid.
Well, it's definitely, you're absolutely right. It's definitely baffling with a 1 hour and then it's $3,700. So as I looked at it, their billing system is confusing. It took me a few looks to understand it, especially because I thought it was a continuance. So that's a good point. I see it now. So I have no problem PCR in this because, yeah, I think that's another valid point. So, but so
We'll finish discussion, and it'll be the intent of this committee to request a PCR on 2022-441. Are there any other comments from members of the council? Are there any other comments? Oh, I'm sorry, from this committee. Comments from this committee. Comments from the council? And comments from the public. So I'm assuming that the next one will be PCR 88-22. Correct? Thank you. May I have a motion? I have a motion to hold. Is there a second?
Second.
The motion to hold will be until August meeting. All those in favor? Aye. Thank you. Okay. The next item is bid 2022-431, emergency repairs to RS-71. That's found on page 167 and is requested by Councilman Lattisor.
Chairman, in addition to a few other things on here that I'm questioning, we've got the same issue. You've got a labor bill here of $1,424 on one item. You have a labor bill of $3,653 on another item, and there's no breakdown. And on top of that, we have things in here that concern me. It says, once the original repair was completed, there were further issues that required addressing to return this truck to service. And if you recall, several months ago, we had a lengthy discussion, at least amongst ourselves, at a council meeting about how these repairs are done, when they're documented, who's tracking them, et cetera, et cetera. Matter of fact, we had a gentleman do a very brief presentation to us about a proposed plan that he had for doing these. So here's what we got. Task one says, def light on. You read down further, and this goes to, how often are we doing these inspections? Who's doing these inspections? What inspections are being done? What is the preventive maintenance that's being done on these vehicles? So this goes to talk about, first of all, they couldn't stop the truck because the batteries were dead. Then it goes on to speak about they unplugged the pump and placed the cab in, et cetera, et cetera. Continue with replacing YF center at the fuel water separator. First start withdrawing fuel before removing the fuel separator tank. Tank was over tightened. Also noticed plug is broken and fuel filter is dirty. Will be replacing with new. Then you get down a little bit further and it just speaks about some difficulty, which is no fault of anyone on our end. It speaks to difficulty about accessing some of these things. But when I look at these items from this vendor, these are things that should be picked up in a regular maintenance inspection. You should know that your fluid, your coolant is low. We shouldn't have to read that in a report that talks about this item right here. Now is low coolant light on, blah, blah, blah. Topped off coolant and got the coolant level to go away. So the coolant was low. That's why the light was on. The coolant was low. And if the light comes on, that means, hey, guess what? you're in danger of cooking over because you're low on fluid. Those are things that are discovered in preventive maintenance. And that's where, you know, some of these concerns come into. Further down, it said, notice there was a previous repair made, had to fix that and verify circuits were connected properly, open to the TS in the first step, blah, 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 to check circuit response. Further down, and notice cable ends are corroded. We'll need more time to access relay. because it is not assessed. This all goes to maintenance. So, you know what? Maybe we should rethink some things. But for right now, I will not be able to support this because we don't have any idea what we're being billed for. When I bring a vehicle into, I'll just say, a repair shop, I get an itemized list of the pots they use, the shop towels, the cleaner, and how many hours of labor that they have at X dollars and cents. And if I don't get that, I'm not paying the bill. And we all work for the taxpayers. And I'm not going to vote to pay this bill unless we get that documentation on how much the labor charge is going forward. And this is three issues so far this evening that we have the same thing. I mean, these things, by now, they should just be natural that, you know what, somebody's going to raise a ruckus about this. We need to know what those are.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gebhardt.
I'll just say briefly, on this one, I mean, I went along with several of these in holding them to make sure we got information. This one has pretty extensive description of the work performed, albeit not, you know, the minutes associated with each task, but they did go to great lengths to describe what they did, and the points about preventative maintenance, while valid, don't really have anything to do with this bill. So I would move favorable, even if we're going to assign a PCR first.
Okay. The next thing I would, Christy, is this the Pete store, Peterbilt? Is this a company that put in the bid for jobs, or is this on our bid list? Is this an approved company that we
purchase parts from them?
Yep.
When we make repairs, we don't have a specific bid for our highway department related to vehicle repairs, but on occasion we do have to send something.